Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, my name is Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss with us, why, give us a call right now. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742, is open. Plenty of lines right now. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about being established in the truth. And if we're going to grow in Christ, grow in the knowledge of the Lord, then we first need to be established in the truth. That's what discipleship is all about. That's what our tagline of our radio broadcast is all about. Hear it, believe it, live it. And that just cycles through in our lives. We're constantly hearing what the Word of God has to say about Jesus. We're constantly challenged in life to whether we really believe this or not. And then as that sinks in and really takes root in our lives, then we live that out. And so it's a discipleship process. So if we're really going to grow, we first need to be established in the truth. And we've been talking this week about being established in the new covenant. When Jesus Christ offered himself at the cross, he ushered in a new covenant. Mm-hmm. He set aside the old because he had fulfilled it in its entirety. And he ushered in this new covenant. And in this new covenant, we have promises, declarations, really from God of what he has done for us in Christ Jesus. And the first thing is he has put his laws in our hearts and in our minds. And that's the nature of this new covenant. It's internal. It's not an external covenant like the old one was, where the laws were written on tablets of stone. These new laws of faith, hope, and love are written in our hearts. We belong to God. He's just declared that to be so because of the work of Jesus Christ. We belong to God. We're God's people. So there's assurance. There's security there. We know God. So we have a personal relationship with him. In the old covenant, no one drew near to God in perfect worship. They were scared to death to draw near.
Yes.
They were frightened by God and the presence of God and all of those sort of things. And there were boundaries set that they could not cross as far as Mount Sinai was concerned. Mm-hmm. But all of those have been erased in the new covenant. And we can draw near to God in perfect worship and genuinely know him intimately, personally, as our Father, as our Heavenly Father. And then he remembers our sins no more. And where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any forgiveness of sin. So as we get established in that truth, then we can see these realities being lived out in our day-to-day lives. And probably the most important place that we see these lived out is in our marriages. Mm-hmm. And this week is National Marriage Week. It started yesterday. It ends next Wednesday on the 14th, Valentine's Day. And there's lots of different ministries that are trying to raise awareness of what the Bible has to say about marriage. And so what we need to know is that we can't talk about marriage outside of the gospel message. If marriage is going to mean anything to us as believers in Christ, if it's going to be healthy and strong and something that we truly enjoy as believers, then it needs to be talked about with the gospel underneath it, with this new covenant message underneath it. So if, for example, husbands and wives both are believers, then they are in the new covenant. And what that means is that the laws of faith, hope, and love have been written on each other's hearts. So we can rest and relax that God is going to do a work in each person. So as a husband, I don't have to get all bent out of shape and trying to control Gina and make her submit to me as the church submits to Christ. I can just leave that alone. I can let God work in her. And I guarantee you what God works in her is going to be much more meaningful to me than what I can try to make happen through my own effort, through my control mechanisms. And the same for her when it comes to what God says to me to love her as Christ loves the church. So just understanding this new covenant allows us to stay in our own lanes. So God speaks to me as a husband, and he says to me as a husband, love Gina as I have loved you, as I love the church. And knowing this new covenant frees me to simply stay in that lane. I don't have to worry about her lane. Yeah. I can stay in my lane and allow God to work in and through me and express what God is working in and through me in this marriage, knowing that he's going to produce some pretty good results with that. So, husbands, let's just talk to you just for a minute. If you are trying to get your wife to submit to you as the church submits to Christ, back away from that. That's not your job. I know as a male, as a man, we like to fix things. And so when problems are presented to us, then we get into action to try to find a solution. And so if we see this as a problem that our wives, you know, are treating us in ways that that don't line up with what the Word of God has to say, then we try to fix it. We try to jump in and make things happen. Well, when we do, instead of drawing her near to us and strengthening the relationship, we actually push our mates away. So stop it. Just stop it right now. Stay in your lane and allow the Word of God to lead you. God has called you to love her as Christ loves the church with no strings attached. That's just what God has called you to. And what God has called her to is something completely different. It's loving you in a way that you feel respect and all of those sort of things. But that's between your wife and the Lord. What's between you and the Lord is you loving her, the wife, as Christ loves the church. Understand that. Rest in this new covenant. You'll see some great things happen in your marriage. I guarantee it.
And it'll be better on your physical being as well.
Yes.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Open lines. We'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. A toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. And friends, if you want to grow as a believer, if you want your Christian life to be abundant and full, you need to get established in truth, as Bob was saying. That's the title of this brand new CD that Bob has produced. It kind of homes in on what it means to stand firm in our faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'd like you to have a copy when you make your February gift to Basic Gospel. To make that happen, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to that same number, 844-322-2742. Either way, we'll get a copy of this important new CD, Established in Truth, on the way to you. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. I also want to make our listeners aware of an opportunity in March 9th and 10th in Hinsdale, Illinois. I will be there. Andrew Farley will be there. We're putting together a Simply Jesus conference, and we want you to come and be a part of it. All the information is on our website at basicgospel.net, a big banner right on the front page that says the Simply Jesus Conference. Click that, find out about all the information. It starts Friday night. Doors will open around 6:30. The sessions will start at 7. We'll go to about 9 o'clock that evening, and then we'll wake up. Doors will open the next morning at 8:30, and we'll go from then until about noontime. But we're going to look at the hot spots in the book of Hebrews. This is one of the most exciting books. We're teaching through this on Fridays. Yeah. And we want you to come and be a part of it. It will really change your whole perspective, your whole relationship with the Lord, your confidence in knowing who you are and exactly what he's accomplished for you. Now, registrations have been pretty brisk, and robust, and we're almost halfway to selling this thing out. So if you want to join us, we're a month away. So I encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net, click the link there on the Simply Jesus Conference, follow all the information, get registered as quickly as you can.
I think it's going to be a great conference, and I know that you're looking forward to being a part of it.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to our friend Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Bob, you kind of hit on what I was talking about. I want to lean this towards marriage and being established in the truth. And the word flesh in Mark 10, it says that man shall leave his mother and his father, and what was twain shall become one flesh. Now, if both of those are believers, they're as Christ loved the church, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. So I've got a little this thing about that word flesh. I want to become skillful in using it as the world system and what it means, the carnal mind. Like in Galatians 5 and 6, 5, and then also in Romans 8. That's talking about the world system. I've heard you explain this before. And if it is the world system, it's like you said, I can't walk any way but in the Spirit if I'm a born-again believer. And my carnal mind longs for the world system, but it's not my job to change that. It's just to draw nigh to God. And so if I'm one with Jeannie, my wife, it's not my job to believe that she can walk any way other than the Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, Clay. I think the distinction there, when it says as husband and wife, we become one flesh, that's kind of our physical union. Mm-hmm. And it's a picture of God's grand design of Christ and the church. And the fact that when we are joined to Christ, we become one spirit with him. So we see a human picture, a fleshly picture of what Christ and the church is all about. And that's exactly what Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 5 when he's talking about how wives and husbands should treat each other with respect and submission and those sort of things. He gets to the end of it and he says, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So marriage, we get to see a picture of what that's all about. Now, as far as the word flesh, as you were mentioning in the book of Galatians chapter 5, walk after the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Those desires of the flesh are anything that are opposite to the desires of the Spirit. So they're self-centered, they're selfish ambition. They're all of those things. They're just the opposite of what love looks like. And that's what this world system is all about. Yeah. It came into play, came into existence at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So John really talks about that world system in his first letter. He gives some descriptions of that in chapter 2. I think it's verse 15 or so. But he says this: do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. So we have this world system. The desires of the flesh are a part of that, and those desires of the flesh are rooted and based in pride, selfish ambition, exalting the self, instead of recognizing that we're a part of something bigger than ourselves, and that we can actually find our greatest fulfillment through faith in Jesus and expressing that faith in love toward one another.
That's good, Bob. Thank you.
You're welcome, Clay. Thanks for your call. Really important topic, my friend. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Clay. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you at Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. Glad you've joined us. Again, 844-322-2742. We had a very nice call from a listener out in the on the West Coast. Let's listen to that call right now.
Yeah, hey, Bob. I'm out here in the Bay Area, San Jose, California. So I was just calling to thank you for your program and just been listening to you guys. I think I discovered you around Christmas time or maybe in November. What a needful, needful program. Very, very good. So it's really helped with me a lot. Believers need to hear this, and there's a lot of confusion, as you know. So I can tell by the spirit of your program, you guys are really dealing with the nuts and bolts of assurance, trusting in Christ alone, resting in his righteousness alone, and how he wants us to walk victoriously because he's done all the work. And okay, thanks a lot, Peter, over and out.
We loved hearing from Peter. Great calling.
Yes, we do. And thank you so much for the encouragement. And,
yes.
You know, we need encouragement. Yeah. And calls like this, emails that we get, folks sharing their story of how the gospel message has really made a difference in their lives. All of those things are great encouragement. And so, you know, when we hear from guys like Peter, we're being ministered to.
Yeah.
So thank you, Peter. Thank you for your call. And thanks for tuning in out there on the West Coast. And I think he's exactly right. I mean, there is so much confusion out there in the world around the gospel.
Yeah.
We have, you know, thousands of different ideas as to what that gospel is all about. And I've said, if you take a microphone out on the street and just ask the question, what is the gospel? You ask 100 people, you might get 100 different answers. And very few of those answers will really match what the Word of God says the gospel is. You know, I had a friend years ago, and we were on a business trip together, and I opened up my Bible and started reading it, and he said, you know, I need to stop cussing, and I need to do some more things. We hadn't even had a discussion. He just started saying those things.
Yeah.
So he saw the Bible, and he said, hey, if my life is going to be better, then I better live like the Bible tells me to. I better quit cussing and smoking and drinking and all of those sort of things. And to him, that was the gospel. But that's not the gospel. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, guys, when we ask you to support Basic Gospel, we're asking you to invest in the power of the gospel to change lives and in the simplicity of that message to really connect hearts to the love of Jesus Christ. So help us cut through that confusion and bring clarity and confidence and assurance to people all over this world as they hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus.
Without question. And friends, you can join us as a partner with this message at basicgospel.net. Just click donate, or you can call 844-322-2742 and make your contribution. Either way, we'll send you a copy of the brand new CD called Established in Truth that Bob has produced. Well, as Bob said, we really love hearing from you, our listeners, and that call from Peter was very, very encouraging. Now, as a stark contrast, I'll share this one. This is concerning the law, and it's from Mike. He says, well, in regard to the law, Mike says, the new covenant is to magnify the law, not to do away and replace it with the law of faith, because even the demons believe, but they are not saved. The law is to be the unchanging, eternal nature of God. Jesus taught all of the Ten Commandments. Those unfortunate Christians that have been led astray by the ruler of this world have only one response to attempt to nullify this verse, which is that Jesus fulfilling the law brings an end to the law. Who could ever think that Jesus was abolishing the law after instructing us that what we should not only obey the law, but to teach it as well? Put simply, unless Jesus is contradicting his own word and heaven and earth are still here, all Ten Commandments have to remain included including the fourth commandment. He says, Isaiah 42:21 says, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. And the remainder of the chapter 5 of Matthew, we see how Jesus indeed magnified the law. Does it sound like that Jesus is destroying the law? That's from Mike.
Well, I find that interesting that
where
he says that the new covenant is there to magnify the law.
Yeah.
No.
Well, the new covenant is there to magnify Jesus. So what we see in the book of Hebrews, for example, chapter 1, in times past, in various ways, God spoke his word through the prophets. But today, he is speaking to us through his Son. So the message that God has for us through Jesus is this new covenant message, the fact that Jesus died to take away our sins, And in dying, he fulfilled that old covenant. So it's not like he abolished it. It's the fact that he fulfilled it, that he brought it to its completion. Now, it still has a spiritual purpose in that it diagnoses man's spiritual problem. So if we don't know we need a Savior, we're never going to turn to Jesus as our Savior. So the law helps diagnose our problem, shows us our sinfulness, shows us that we're dead spiritually, so that we can receive Christ as our very life. So that's the purpose of the law. Now, that purpose has glory, but that glory pales, hard for me to say, pales in comparison to the glory of this new covenant, the very glory of Jesus Christ himself. Under the law, we were in prison, bound to sin and death. In this new covenant, we've been set free from the law of sin and death. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So, no, the new covenant is not there to magnify the law. The law is simply a shadow of the good things that are coming. It is not the reality themselves. Richard, you have a lot to say about this, don't you?
I can't believe that.
Maybe. I'll try to be kind. I lived that life that he is describing,
Mike.
I lived it with all my heart, and I was wrong, dead wrong. And it took me a long time to figure that out because I was trying so hard, I was being so holy, and I was judging everyone else, and I was hateful and judgmental, and I was complete fraud. When I met the real Jesus, my life changed. And I can tell you that it changed. You can talk to my wife. You can talk to other people who know me. My life changed. And it changed because I let the law be the law instead of making it something else. When I allowed the law to point out that I fell short, then I could ask the question, well, who's going to save me? How can I be saved? Then Jesus shows up and says, oh, I've taken care of that. If you'll just accept me. And he abolished that enmity, that hatred between me as an attempting lawkeeper and other people. It's the way Paul describes it,
yes,
in Ephesians 2. I was separating myself from other people. Jesus came to abolish that hatred that was contained in the law. And when he fulfilled the law, the enmity goes away, and in Christ we're made one. He takes Jews and Gentiles alike, makes them one person, and we have access to the same one and only Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. Law cannot do that. Law will not do that. Read Galatians. How did Paul describe lawkeepers? You know, the people, the Judaizers, the people who wanted to keep the law. He said they were Hagar, and their offspring is Ishmael. I mean, that is a stunning statement.
Yes.
If you want to be
hypocritical, they were hypocritical.
Oh, yes.
They were wearing masks, they were judgmental, they were backbiting, devouring one another.
All that.
It's not a good thing, folks.
No, it is not.
It's not. And that's why we read in Hebrews 7, for example, on the one hand, a former commandment, the law, is set aside because of its weakness and its uselessness. For the law never made anything perfect.
Yeah.
Only Jesus
never
can do
completes.
That by that one offering. Jesus Christ has made us perfect forever.
Yeah.
That's the good news. And so this new covenant magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. One other passage about this. In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. Now, if you want to hold on to something that's obsolete, if you want to live your life in the shadows and not experience the reality of Christ, that's your choice. But if you want the real thing, let go of the old and grab hold of the new.
Yeah. Well, you can hear the real thing every day on Basic Gospel. It is a listener-supported broadcast, friends, and we would love to have your partnership with us. If you can help with a gift during the month of February, just go online to basicgospel.net, click that big prominent donate link, or you can call 844-322-2742. Anytime, day or night, it doesn't matter what time you call, that number is available, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for that study in Hebrews. It's going to be great. I hope you'll be here. Bye-bye.